KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
From women breastfeeding to men chest feeding, a man exposes himself in a spa in California to horrified onlookers, male athletes competing in the Olympics as females, and now there's a song out about their coming for your children. My guest today, Denise Schick, wrote a book called I'm Glad God Made Me a Girl. We're going to discuss this topic. How horrible is it? And what are your children learning insidiously? And what is society trying to teach you so that you don't think it's so bad? I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Stay tuned. Denise, welcome.
Thank you.
Denise, your book, what prompted you to write your book?
Yeah, so writing this children's book, I'm Glad God Made Me a Girl, really came, the seed of this came from God. I just had such a heavy burden on my heart to have stories that faith-based families have that counter the messages that the LGBTQ plus is offering for our children when they are gender confused or discussing homosexuality in the home. The messages seem to be a one-way street. And that really led me to begin this new children's series to address these issues while also trying to send positive messages to the children. If there's one that's, you know, having that struggle of who they are, and a way to guide parents, a safe book to guide parents to discuss and to start opening up their homes to these type of conversations.
Why are you so qualified to write this book?
Well, I think, you know, part of it is God has definitely been the one that has called me, without a doubt. But I think as well, being a child that grew up in the environment of having a father that wanted to be a woman, but ended up leaving later to become a woman, you know, really helped me to address some of the confusion that I faced in that environment.
How was that as a child growing up with a father who really wanted to become a woman? How was that?
Well, it was, if I'm going to be honest and frank, it was devastating. Devastating, not only the fact of losing my father at the age of 9 when he disclosed this to me, but because of how I started to wonder, who was I? And if God made a mistake and my dad should have been a woman, how did I know that God didn't make a mistake and I should have been a boy?
How did you deal with that?
Oh, my goodness. Not in good, healthy ways during my teen years. You know, to be very honest, as a child, I searched out for a dad because I lost my dad that day when he let me know that he didn't want to be my dad, that he wanted to be this other person. And with that, left me for a hunger for a dad that led me into looking for young boys that would give me that affirmation.
Wow.
Love, you know, very young. And, you know, by the age of 13, saving my babysit money and my lunch money for alcohol in trying to deal with what was going on in my home. So I understand that if I was a child in school today, the school counselors would tell me that I was transgender. Or because of some of the imagination that I had with this type of situation as a child, they would tell me that I'm homosexual. And so I look at the kids today as if they're really the prey. They're the prey of the LGBTQ. And we see how these messages are completely drenching our children into negativity of who they are instead of affirming them and who they are and creating nothing but confusion for them when they should be learning arithmetic, English, and social skills. Not about sexuality.
The stuff that we used to learn in school before Common Core and all these other educational diversities came out.
Correct. Yeah. So I think, you know, just using my own, a lot of my own thoughts and experiences to write from that child's perspective on these issues.
What about your mom as she went through this? I'm sure that she struggled.
She most certainly did. It was devastating to her when my dad had left to become Becky. Yep, my dad had left to transition and become a woman. And so Becky was the name that he had taken on. It totally destroyed her. And sadly, I see that happen with so many other wives that are going through these circumstances with their husbands.
So he stole dresses and wore makeup, and he lived as a woman. Mm-hmm. And your mother had to deal with it. How did she deal with it? And how is she today as a result of him leaving and her being so bereft and wounded?
Yeah, my mother wasn't able to deal with it. She became very ill a lot. Migraine headaches were so common in our home, and the medication they would give my mother would make her sleep, if not for a day, for 2 days. And so it caused a lot of sleepiness. She just denied what was going on for so long, but then when reality came, it just swept her away. She never was the same again when my dad left to pursue this life.
What about your siblings?
I have, I'm the oldest of five, and my younger siblings, sadly, I have one that's a recovered alcoholic, one that is recovered from really hard drugs, and my other two, the younger brother and younger sister, have had their own issues from not having my father, you know, basically a relationship with him, and of course, when he had left.
Children's reading hours at the local library, encouraged by the American Library Association. How did that happen?
Well, I think there were definitely some things politically that went on, or handshakes behind the scenes. But unfortunately, when we have parents, adults, taking children to such events, it was a way to promote their agenda. I cannot imagine taking myself back to being 9 years old and going to some drag queen reading hour, knowing what my dad struggled with and what my dad did. It would have torn me apart even worse. And so what nobody's really talking about is, what about the family that are already living through this type of turmoil in their home? And these children are being encouraged to read books or by their friends to go to some drag queen reading hour at the library. Family members, children especially, will very seldom voice what they're feeling and what's going on at home. They'll try to hide it for as long as they can. And I just can't believe that this is the world that we're in, that as grown adults, we are taking children to drag queen library hours.
So your book, I'm Glad God Made Me a Girl, give us a summary of that book.
Sure. I love the story, because what we're doing is we're addressing two friends, Amy and Susie. And one day, Amy comes over to Susie's house to play and announces that she wants to be a boy with her hair cut. You know, that's really getting into the heart of the message. How does Susie's parents guide her, you know, through this when she's showing her own emotions of, wait a minute, am I going to lose this friend? What's happening here? But to address how Susie is still a friend to Amy. And so with this book, it basically young girls discover God's design and purpose for them. The story also touches on the reason some girls believe becoming a boy makes sense for them. I believe that this book shows girls that they are fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and that as females, each one is beautiful, they're kind, they're brave, and they're strong. They don't have to become a boy to be these things.
We're going to talk a little bit more about your additional book and what you're going to be doing with your series. But how did you come to get to know Christ's love and realize that he had made you a girl for a reason?
Well, I would say that honestly came around the age of 12, 13, after a couple years of the turmoil inside. pretending I was a boy and what that would look like with kissing a girl and all of that. I finally had just come to the conclusion that God made me a girl. God did not make a mistake. If God made a mistake and I should have been a boy, what other mistakes did God make?
Mm.
And that just seemed more damaging to even that concept, you know. And I think that's the difficulty, that if we begin that there's one mistake that God had made, it's endless.
It spirals down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It unravels what we think. When God has created everyone in his own image, that whole scripture would be thrown out of the Bible if it wasn't true.
Right, exactly. So if we are going to believe the Holy Scriptures for what they are, you know, 100%, you just cannot go where Satan would rather have us believe that God makes mistakes, because literally that ends up taking us away from God.
I'm glad God made me a girl is a book by Denise Schick, who lived this life, her whole life, when her dad stole her mom's clothes and makeup because he always thought that he could become a woman and should have been a woman. Now, let me ask you this, Denise, before we take a break. Did your mother ever suspect any of this before she married your dad?
She actually, my dad told me at 9 a lot of different details that he had told her right before they got married. But she did not think, my mother's words later were that she did not think that it was the problem that it turned into being.
Wow, that's amazing. Hey, we're going to come back, talk more about What's Up with Cousin Stacy, another book in your series. But most importantly, we're going to talk about tips parents can use, tips school teachers can use, Sunday school workers can use, pastors can use to help children realize that God made them who he made them to be. And there's no mistakes with God. Denise Schick is my guest. This is Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich. Don't go away. Remember, if you miss this show, it is on the Bot Radio Network website. Go to St. Louis and you'll see the archive of this show. And eventually it will also be on my website, judyredlich.com. So if your friends that need to listen to this show, please point them to it. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. We'll be right back. Check out more of my interviews at judyredlich.com. That's judyredlich.com. Or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
Friend me on Facebook. Connect with me on LinkedIn.
Hey, I'm Judy Redlich. We're back on Encounter. My guest is Denise Schick. Our children's series addressing LGBTQ issues. Another book that she's written is What's Up with Cousin Stacy. What's that book all about?
This book actually explores, particularly in this family's response of the storyline, to the news of a loved one identifying as being gay. You know, and with the help of the parents, Kevin, who learns that his cousin's gay, learns to love honestly and to be in prayer during what can seem like the most difficult and challenging situations to go through as a family and as a child trying to understand this, you know, to where Kevin, the main character in this story, will ask questions to his parents outrightly. Does that mean, you know, I can't see Cousin Stacy, that I can't attend or have her come to attend my baseball games? Situations like that. So we want to demonstrate the fact of how do we tell children when somebody comes out as gay, especially when they're a close family member and they see them. It isn't anything that you can hide. And the importance for this information to come from the parents to provide that compassionate and that loving and safe environment.
And parents so often are naive because they think this isn't happening. But just recently, the LGBTQ community is now vocally saying through a song, come for your children. How can we not start opening our eyes to this blatant insidiousness that's coming after our children?
Yeah, we are doing our children a disservice, in all honesty, if we do not address these issues at home, because they are getting information, whether it's at school or on the headlines or in the TV, in addition to their peers. So let's not forget that kids have friends, and there's a lot of families, and a lot of families that have somebody that's either identifying as homosexual or gay. So even the fact if you take the TV away, you are limiting everything else. If there's peers, you better believe that they are going to get the information somewhere. The LGBT is not going to stop. They will continue. They have a drive to get to our children with their messages, to be, in a sense, where they are victims. You know, instead, if we switch that around, it is the children in our world today that have become the victims.
And you look at the words to this song that was just released in San Francisco this week. We're coming for your children. That's the title of the song. How could anybody even play that anywhere? The lyrics, you say, yeah, we all lead lives you don't respect, but you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. Wow. How can that even be played? How can people let those words be played anywhere? And how can athletes be able to be posed as the opposite sex in competing with Olympics? How can that be, Denise?
Yeah. We live in a chaotic and lost world, you know, and unfortunately, because of the fallen world we are in, what we are seeing is exactly the consequences of that. But how can we be in a world where everything that is right is wrong and everything that is wrong is right?
Tips. Give us some tips.
We have to protect our children by providing, again, that safe environment. If you have not even tackled any of these topics with them, just to simply say, you know, I would like to just know, are you hearing anything about this? We'd like to talk about this in an open and honest way so that you know the information that dad and I or mom is given, you know, is the truth. And so that they understand as well that we live in a world of hurting people. And we know that when you've got adult men singing, you know, we are coming for your children, they are lost, they're blinded spiritually, and they don't realize, I honestly don't realize that some understand the deep deception that they are living in.
Where can parents go to find out information about this insidiousness and start taking action? Parents, school teachers, principals, pastors?
Yeah, so I think a few of the places that they would be able to go to get the information and what is going on, could one of them would be the Child and Parental Rights Campaign, which is attorneys that are actually helping in regards to the transgender issue with parents' rights with their child in school. And they have an absolute fabulous book. It's a booklet, Navigating the Transgender Landscape. And so that is one I feel that it's so important, Judy, that we actually put it up on our website.
And that website is called what?
That website is Child and Parental Rights Campaign.
Child and Parental Rights Campaign.
I'm sorry. Childparentrights.org.
Childparentrights.org is the website.
Yes. And I think that that is a fabulous place to start. I know one of the attorneys for several years, and she's been entrenched, you know, with the LGBT issues. And so for any type of advice would be a well-trusted colleague for me to be able to suggest for people to check out. this organization.
Any other site?
Yeah, so it's also important if they want to know what's the studies behind some of this. They can go to helpforfamilies.org.
Helpforfamilies.org. Help?
Help with the number four families, or help with the number four families.org.
Help number four families.org.
Yep.
Okay, two sites.
And so we will put the studies up on these issues, you know. So they're professional studies, but they're trustworthy studies as well to learn from. And so those are a couple places to really go to learn more about this. I think, again, the most important thing for the parents is to provide that safe and open environment to talk with their child. Now, unfortunately, in our schools, our teachers, you're saying principals, people that are in the school system, you know, they're entrenched in this. And so my heart goes out to them with what they're experiencing there. And so possibly if there's any situation there as well, the attorneys that I had mentioned may be very helpful on some resources that they may know of.
So a real basic question I didn't ask you is, why are people identifying as transgender so quickly now rather than in the past? What draws them to that?
Well, I think we have a couple different things. We have the media that is driving this. We have the politics that is driving this force. In addition, we have what is called rampant onset with girls identifying as transgender. And basically, this is all coming from peer pressure and from peer influence. And so we see the deep outcome with peers. And again, that's why we are suggesting if parents think that this isn't touching their child, think again.
Wow. You write specifically about the regrets that many trans confused people have. What are some of these?
Some of the regrets, the main regrets, are when they've had the sex reassignment surgery and they've had healthy body parts taken off, and they discover, guess what, several times, this didn't fix me. This didn't fix that. I feel ugly. I feel like a monster. You know, I want my life back. It is devastating to see what is happening with individuals that have gone that far to have their body parts removed. Hearing from men that say, I want to get married. I just want a normal life. And they can't.
Wow.
They can't. People don't realize that with these puberty blockers, that they are trying to halt a child's natural process of what their hormones and what their body is developing into, actually sterilizes the child. And so there are consequences. There's consequences to the bone density. You know, the fact of the cancers and high blood pressure, other difficulties that many times one ends up having. It's also a lifetime of anxiety and depression medicine many, many times. So it's constant money going out to the pharmaceutical companies and to the physicians or the psychologists that are supporting this agenda.
I'm glad God made me a girl. What's up with Cousin Stacy? Both books Denise Schick wrote to expose the LGBTQ community and its drives. Denise, how can people get a copy of your books?
They can definitely find them on Amazon. Even if they want to click to our website and go to Amazon Resources, and it'll take them right to all the books that we have available at this time. We are planning on adding two additional children's books each year, and we have two more that are due to be completed by the illustrator by December.
And your website?
Is help with the number four families.com or .org.
Helpforfamily.com or .org, and that's number four. And then the other website you gave?
Is childparentrights.org.
Childparentrights.org. Denise Schick, who lived the life of seeing her father steal her mother's clothes and makeup, and finally leave their family to become Becky. I'm Judy Redlich. You heard it here on Encounter. If you missed the show, you can go to our Bot Radio Network St. Louis archives to listen to it again, or it will be on my website, judyredlich.com. It's important to be informed. Denise, thanks so much for joining us today, and I hope that God will be opening up your eyes to take a deeper look into the insidiousness of the LGBTQ message.
Thank you.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.